can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. Yep, I'm back. Middle of the week. Thank you for joining us. Well, I'll say us because I have people around that's friends, some I've never met, some I've met, talked to, some I've just talked to, never seen, wouldn't know them if I ran across them. And we all work together, different parts of the country. Just sharing emails, Facebooks, and helping each other. That's the we I'm talking about. Do I have a staff? No. It's me and a kitty cat in a two-bedroom house somewhere in Mount Air, North Carolina. And that's me. I do my broadcast, I do my research, and I go about my happy little life here in Griffinville. It's that simple. Family, there's a lot of things happening even here in Andy Griffinville. Mount Airy, North Carolina, yeah, home of Andy Griffin, of course. It's actually a tourist spot. People from all over come here to see Andy Griffin stuff, theaters, etc., etc. Outdoor theater is a big sale here. Thursdays, Fridays, sometimes Saturdays, depends. Have maybe three or four places you can actually go for a drink of wine, maybe, or whatever. And these are also restaurants, you know, so you don't have. You're going to have here in Mount Airy because a plan had been set in place that I've been trying to tell people. And I see the foreign investors every day I go out, when I go out places to eat and drink or whatever. Wine, of course. Wine or tea, coffee, mostly coffee, in my little notebook and journal. In the four or five places it's remotely possible to visit, I go to about three. That's it. That's going to change, though. In this little town that... It's kind of like a little Chicago, they called it. the plan was set forth is the same they did in Detroit, to destroy it and the industry, bring it down to where no locals controlled industry. See, people don't realize that. Now, Freemasons are behind it because they're promised to, you know, reap from the rewards of when it increases and so forth. Oh, yeah. The Chinese has sovereign Chinese territory here in Mount Airy, even, called a foreign trade zone. Oh, it's there. Oh, yeah. Nice little spot of an industrial park. They're going to put an Outback and a Cracker Barrel and all kinds of new restaurants, I found out, by next year. Now, why would they do that? Why would the Chinese have an industrial park in Mount Airy, North Carolina? And then they bring in a Mandarin teacher. Wow. Let me go back to what I said. This used to be called Little Chicago. Okay, I quit messing around. The idea was to get the young people to finally move out of here and go to the population centers. That was the idea. So there's nothing here for young kids. It's when they come out of college or high school. It's all local businesses, but a lot of it's tied up with the Freemasons and foreign investors. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to Raleigh. You're going to go to New York or Florida or out west or something. Good colleges are here, but the big cities you're going to go to, not Mount Airy. Old people, they just want to die. They just want them to die and go away. And a middle-class family, they brought in to give them jobs so they'll just be quiet and happy and be glad you got a job. While they sneak in their foreign investors and employees later down the road. It's going to grow big. Why? Let's go back to what I said a little while ago. It's called Little Chicago. Why? Because Mount Airy, specifically next to the Triad Zone, is unseemingly a laid-back little town. Who would think that drugs and human trafficking would come through here? Mm-hmm. It's also near two interstates, 77 and 74. Uh-huh. Okay. It's also between New York and Florida, exactly in the middle. Oh, I see. Yeah. It's also near the water, Hatteras and the Atlantic Ocean. It's a pretty big body of water. A lot can come through here from Europe. Oh, imagine that. It don't have to hit any of the military bases in Virginia or South Carolina, but North Carolina? Yeah, piece of cake. And when you got high-level commanders at Camp Lejeune and Fort Bragg on the take, which they are, definitely are. They wouldn't be generals. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, no problem with the military. Police are being downgraded by design, bringing in their own national police force. I'm laying the groundwork for today, partially. And also, you're midway to the west gateway. Go through Tennessee and Kentucky and West Virginia, you're everywhere. Mount Airy is very crucial. So let's keep it down. Let's not tell anybody, okay? Don't be telling people I said this on the radio. Don't do that. Now you got it? This is how they work. What they haven't told the Freemasons here and other places is they're going to kill them. They're going to die. That's a promise. They don't know that yet. You're not going to be able to tell them either. You see, in the past weeks, past month, I've inundated you with about the goals of Illuminati, which I'll continue to do. To show you how they operate, what to stay away from, etc. But then you start saying, wow, this thing is big. You start getting kind of depressed, don't you? You're like, wow, this is a lot. Where's your faith at? This is exactly what they do to high-level generals, CEOs, so forth. They show them the big picture, and they say, well, gosh, what can we do against these people? We better join. See how it works? And if you don't join, you will lose a job. You will lose your position. You will lose the contract. I know because I've lost three. on account of it. I've been asked twice to be in a Mason. And I said, I can't do that. And they maneuvered it to where I lost two jobs, good paying jobs too, on a high level. One I lost because I wouldn't shut up, and I don't intend on shutting up. It was Kosovo. Next was Guardsmark, working for them. They worked for the Council of Foreign Relations as a project security manager. They belong to the Council of Foreign Relations and full of Masons. I asked three times to join. I can't. One, two, three, out. 2 months later, I can't deal with this anymore. And another one I had with a really good friend of mine that I found out later was a 33rd degree Mason. I worked for him teaching martial arts. And he had become a Mason of 33rd degree, and he's different. He changed. It didn't work out. Don't get the idea I'm bitter. I'm not at all. I forgive everybody. I forgive them. Who am I to judge anybody? I'm nobody. But I'm warning people. This is how it really works. This is how the world really works. I'm not giving my soul up for nobody. It ain't going to happen. Death is preferable because it's a release from the body. I'm not afraid of death. If I was, I'd never join the Marine Corps. You know. Then I had a different idea about it, but here I have a completely different idea about the idea I had before. Who's on first? In any case, I think you know what I mean. I want to dedicate the broadcast. I have a lot to talk about today. Today, it just hit me about, 10 minutes in, about 20 minutes ago, what I was going to talk about today. I don't pre-plan these necessarily. All my broadcasts are very seldom pre-planned. It's the way it works. I decided I was going to talk about racism and feminism, the reality. And I'm going to show you about various ways, and it goes along with what we were talking about yesterday and the day before. The 21 goals of the Illuminati, it all plays out. And I told y'all, one of the weapons that they used was racism, sex. What did I give you? Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, one day I just sat down. It didn't take me about 5 minutes. I mean, I didn't even really scrutinize it. It's just a list of their weapons was sex, racism, okay, feminism, war, food, that's your GMO products and all that stuff, diseases they create in the laboratories like HIV, HPV. The HPV vaccine is non-functional. It is used to sterilize your kids. That's what the purpose of it is. Your doctors and nurses, they're telling you no. They're liars. Now, you send the doctor my way, I'll tell him, and I'll show him. And the nurse, I'll wake her up in a heartbeat. Not a problem. I don't have to be a medical professional. It's told by the dead people, the dead children. Argue that point. And the 25,000 plus permanent injuries of HPV, Gardasil. And that four nations already have outlawed it. Argue that, doctor. You're not going to. Neither are you, nurse. You're not going to. Argue that with the parents of the dead children. Oh, I'd love to see that, but I wouldn't. Not really, but you got my point. Then your argument that it won't hurt you falls really short, like the size of a postage stamp. Drugs, that goes without saying, and the false ADHD lie that they put out to you to put the psychotropic drugs in your kids on purpose. They lie about ADHD. That's a lie from hell. The education, I'll briefly talk about that today. Politics, it goes without saying. Art, beauty, harmony. Medici was Illuminati, Italian family. They're not Jews. Medici, that's not Jew, unless it's Medici Burger. But it's Medici. Worked with Michelangelo. Medici was channeled. I won't go into that right now. But Medici worked with Michelangelo, painted that worthless thing he did on the chapel about a certain god touching Adam. My God's bigger than that fellow with that half-naked, white-haired man touching Adam. My God's a lot bigger than that. Michelangelo's painting is worthless. because it depicts my God as a man touching Adam. And he's much bigger than that. Their God's small because their God is Satan. He's small, but not my God. He's big. If he created the universe, that means he's bigger than the universe. If he created heaven, that means he's bigger than heaven, the universe, and earth all combined. He's bigger than all of them. He's not some naked, white-haired old man touching the finger of Adam. So that means you can't draw anything about God. No depiction, no idol can ever represent him. It's impossible. So why do it? Okay. I never was a lawyer, but Science comes from Satan. I'm sorry, but it does. I know that sounds old fogey, but you think Jesus is going to return with a host of computers? A Federal Reserve? He's going to bring us a George Jetson-type existence? You think he's going to have UFOs for all of us that we can fly around like George Jetson? I know some of you don't know George Jetson. Look at archives. Anyway, that's what they have a vision of. It's not going to happen. That's TV. Money, economics, philosophy, a worthless course. Religion. There's no religion about God. Jesus Christ is not about religion. He's about redemption and salvation, not religion. Religion is man-made, brought to us by the hierarchy. Socialism, Nazism, fascism, communism, Marxism. Man, that's just a top-of-the-head list. Then you break those down further. This is how Satan's controlling us all. And he uses guilt. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and boy, here we go. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we come together once again in this broadcast. Father, we dedicate this broadcast to you. Lord, we lift up to you our sins. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and our thoughts that we stray sometimes. Father, I know I do. Lord, we lift them up to you, that, Father, you can make us righteous through our acknowledgement of our sins. We lay them before you, and you extinguish them. Father, we sometimes fall short, but, Father, we know your loving grace will get us through. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, down on the cross for our sins. And Father, we have a clear way to heaven. But most of all, Lord, we thank you also for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that keeps us on that right path, that we won't fall away, us all. Father, we're praying for our brethren. We pray again for Antonio, Lord, for his family to come together, to open up eyes of those within his family who can see the truth. And Father, bring that family together. We pray for Brandy, Lord, to give her coverage, give her strength, and give her opportunity and divine appointments that's going to put her on the right track. Father, we pray for Max that's going through an attack right now, that, Lord, you'll give him strength to put a hedge of protection around him from that attack of the demonic realm that we know about happened recently. Lord, we pray for his strength and, Father, to use him mightily, but gives him that power, Father, through the armor of God, and put on that full armor, Lord, to teach him while he's away. Lord, for these we pray, and the others we prayed for in the past, Lord, you know that we call for their healing and the families to become together. Lord, we pray for children that are being abducted for these sacrifices by the Wicca, by the Satanists, and all these like. Father, we call upon you, Lord, to strip down their protection. And Father, through that strip down of their protection, Lord, that through their openness, when you strip down their protection, that those, Father, you deem, those you predestine, that you seal them with the blood of your Spirit, with the Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, and bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts. And Father, to put one inside to take these covens down. And Father, we call upon you to strip away the facade they have in the governments, to show the fallen angels for who they really are, and strip down their protection, disrupt their frequency rates, and cause them to be exposed to the world for who they are really. And Lord, to seal up those portals, stop their advancement. Lord, to give us opportunity to witness to others. But Father, thy will be done. When the time comes, Father, give us strength to deal through the times and see these end times events as they approach, And Father, give us strength to get through them as we lead others in search of Jesus. That's why we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, sometimes, I'll admit, it's hard to know where to start. And when I do that, I just clear my mind and say, Lord, I need help here. That's just how kind of works. There is a quote. You know, I like quotes because quotes take the heat off of me. I like scripture. Because what I say, people don't like it. I give them scripture, it takes the heat off me, puts it back on God. He's the expert, I'm not. Well, I got a quote. And this quote, it just dawned on me about an hour, 2 hours ago. I've been saying it for a long time. But I got something else to say about it. It just kind of popped in my head. So people that know me, I call them epiphanies. Take what you will. Ayn Rand, witchcraft, humanist, a mistress to Philip Rothschild. Those boys got around. I don't think quite as much as Solomon did, but they get around. You understand what I mean? So Ayn Rand was a mistress to Philip Rothschild. Now, that being said, she was tasked by the Illuminati to write the playbook for the World Revolutionary Plan. Now, Adam Weishaupt had completed the plan in May the 1st, 1776. That's when it started. Now, the plan to integrate all the cultures of the world, where God scattered everybody, so it wouldn't plan against him at the Tower of Babel. God scattered everybody with different languages, and later, because of their positioning and the gap in history there, I won't go into that now, the plates of the earth were separated and divided in a period of history it's not recorded. Caused a great loss of life. That's another story. He divided the land after Prelig, 10 generations after Nimrod, 3,000-4,000 years ago. The land was divided. The languages were divided. God divided everybody. Satan's idea is to bring everybody back to have his world government, his world religion, his world currency. You can't have them all scattered and have your world government. So he's going to bring them all together. You know where he picked? The North American continent. Because the North American continent, specifically the United States, is rich in everything. Diamonds, oil, gold, everything. Everything is in the United States. Notice that. A lot of things they're not telling you. But the one thing that's not here was a diverse culture. He had to have them put somewhere. You have to have salt flats, salt family, salt. Salt is used in witchcraft massively. Massively. In alchemy. Salt is crystals. The Norwegians, or the Vikings, you want to call it, channelers of the fallen angels, won't go there right now exactly. They visited in about the 10th century. 9th or 10th century, set up the invasion. They structured how they were going to handle it in the New Atlantis. So by the 1400s, specifically the year 1425, the plans were set into place to launch and target the North American continent by the Illuminati. Columbus was a member of the royal family from Spain. He was funded by the Illuminati. Yeah, he was. I forgot whether it's Medici or, I forgot exactly who it was, Borgia or Medici. Borgia funded the Jesuits. So by the year 1425, it was put into place. Here comes Queen Elizabeth Isabella. Yeah, buddy. The Pinta Santa Maria and whatever darn ship it was. Set sail 1492. Here we go. The first culture was brought in. The white folk, escaping religious intolerance, was the bondage they were put in by the Vatican. Over 200 years of mass murder by the Vatican. From 1200 to 1400 A.D. was midpoint of a combined 50 to 68 million murders by the Vatican. So about 20 to 30 million people have been murdered because of religious intolerance. White folk that want to get the Dickens out of there. Well, they didn't know we were falling into a trap. And here comes the Fabian Society. They had to set up a Freemasonry group in America. Fabians. See, George Washington never trusted the Fabians. He was made a Mason, but he had some distrust. Now, I'm leaving a lot out, because if I was to go into all of it, I'd be here an hour. I'm giving you a basic, another stream of knowledge here that I've learned and I'm passing on, and some of you may know already, I don't know. Martin Luther worked for the Jesuits. Martin Luther needed to form a religion for this escape. He worked behind the scenes with the Vatican. He created for the dialectic Protestantism, Protestism, Protestantism. You got it? That gave him courage. That gave him hope. Now, God allowed this, of course, because he knew what he was going to allow and what he was going to do. God allowed this to happen. He's used it. But Satan did too. But Satan did know he is falling into a place. But nevertheless, white folk had a way out, Mayflower, etc., to launch into the North American continent, and they did, to get away from religious intolerance. That was the bondage. Set up their own belief system. It's always planned that way. Always. And then the second culture was the slaves from Africa. That's number three. So what's the first culture? Indians and Mexicans, who were indigenous. Was the second culture they brought in? The white folk that wanted to get away from religious intolerance. Was the third race they brought in? The blacks in the 1600s. Put into slavery. Everybody's been put into slavery here. Either escaping it or being put into it. The whites were in slavery from 1200 to 1400 A.D. by being murdered by the Vatican just whenever they wanted to. 68 million people, that's a lot of people, man. Between 1200 and 1800 A.D., that's a whole lot of people. That's how Satan does it, put the culture in bondage. So that was the third culture. And then the fourth, fifth, and sixth, man, they just come to America. You got the Fountain of Youth. You've got gold. You got land. Just land grab. Land grab? It wouldn't belong to Indians and Mexicans. What do you mean land grab? Land grab what? It's not free land. It belongs to somebody. It all belongs to God. Yeah, it don't belong to anybody, really. But who was here first? I'm a white boy. Yeah, I'm a white boy. And I'm a Scotch-Irish. And I had, you know, family members that fought in the Revolutionary War and all this and all that and blah, blah, blah. But family, you got to face the truth on this. They were here first. When God divided the land, they're like, whoa, there's a lot of body of water. Go back to the Middle East. Notice that the Indians and the Mexicans look a whole lot like Middle Easterners. Isn't that a hoot, huh? Further south you go, the blacker they get. Further north you get, the whiter you get. So up there in Sweden and Norway, man, those people are like two-legged sheets walking around. And then you go more east, and guess what? They get a little more oriental. They're still white, sort of. They get oriental. Notice everybody's in a particular position? How'd that happen? Could it be that DNA changed according to the energy forces on the earth? Because that's what changes DNA, by the way. And the different languages affects DNA. Microwave, there's a lot to it. About 10 generations, 1,000 years or so, there's going to be a lot of changes in DNA. DNA changes with ELF transmission, with food, with all kinds of things can change DNA. Chemtrails and chemicals. How about that? So the North American continent became a melting pot. And I've got evidence. I know my regular listeners are saying, oh, no, we're going to hear that quote again. Well, you're going to hear part of it. I have to do it because I got new people. FDR said, and FDR is representative of every single president, and today every one of those generals that's involved in this, every one of the congressmen, every one of those in the New World Order, in the Illuminati, Freemasons at the highest level, this quote is representative of their real attitude across the board, Russia, China, Africa, North America, Europe, South America. They're all the same. They have the same agenda. Representative in this quote of their respective countrymen. The countrymen are secondary to the agenda of the secret societies. Churchill was a murderer. This is a quote. He was responsible for the deaths with J.P. Morgan of Lusitania. That's a fact. FDR is a murderer. Him and Churchill both planned, working with the Japanese elite, they planned Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s. That's a fact. Family, I'm going to read you a quote. And this quote comes from the mouth of FDR and is representative of the attitude of the secret society members throughout the world. The quote goes like this, behind closed doors. In front of three congressional committees, and one of them, by the name of Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, wrote this quote down, kept it to himself, and in around the 1950s, he sent it to William G. Carr, who actually put the quote, you read it yourself if you want to, in Red Fog Over America. You'll find it in all the editions. On my website, watchmanforjesus.com. I've got a timeline there. Hit the timeline link. You go to my timeline on Microsoft Word. And you put a find in there on March 4th, 1939. You can read it with me word for word. You'll find it in his book. And it's through Senator Lundeen. Look up Lundeen. He was there. Three congressional committees heard this quote. Now focus on bringing the foreigners into the North American continent. Here's what FDR said in their real plans. Quote, behind closed doors, they're meant to be revealed to the public. He said, and I quote, I am making no concession, 1939, by the way, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people, that was the Illuminati, ahead of all instruments, that's the American public. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with American people. As far as the democracy is concerned. That's the same thing that Bush says. Continuing. It does not exist. It never did. And we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business. Infest America with all the aliens possible. And the last analysis. I will declare martial law. Confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. That's what was said. Now, I thought that was pretty crazy. Then I did some research, and I found out that he had an ancestral cousin, Clinton Roosevelt. Notice the last names. And Clinton Roosevelt, in 1841, about 100 years before this quote of FDR, had published in America, which I have a copy of, The Science of Government, Founded on Natural Law. This is linked up to humanism, by the way. And that was nothing more than a plagiarized version of the teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt at Frankfurt University in Germany. And he's a renegade Jesuit priest who just happened to be a Jew. But family, the Irish control the finances, not the Jews. You've got Irish, Scottish, Jew, Italian, German, all of them. Include everybody. People just say, oh, it's a Jew conspiracy. No, it's not. It's a lie. It's all of them that are Luciferian. But that document, 1841, plagiarized version of the plans of Adam Weishaupt, I just mentioned a little while ago, a renegade Jesuit priest. He wasn't renegade. He was being used by them. They call him renegade to plausible deniability. He arranged for the agentur of the Illuminati to infiltrate the French Freemasonry in 1776 to set us up for the World Revolutionary Movement and the conspiracy of Satan. At the time, they used Freemasonry to further the secret plans and ambitions, and at the same time to cloak this diabolical purpose in long-range plans. And the continuity of this conspiracy from 1841, 1776 to 1841, continue the conspiracy, 1841 to 1945 is documented. 45 began the takedown of America. Tavistock began their planning because they'd been in operation for 20 years, 1921 to 1945. So by 1945, they had plans ready to go to set up nuclear fear-mongering, feminist movement, racism. Everything was set up after 1945 to begin the takedown of America as the last bastion to put in the New World Order. Now you understand the big picture. It all began in 1945. Because his plans, I found out, ended in 1945 and went from 1841. Man, this is documented. This is not something I'm making up. It's from their own documentation. So Roosevelt made known his secret plans to establish a dictatorship in America in March 1939 when he gave a secret audience to some of the government's special committee. Yeah, the ones that give their blood oath to lie to God. Yeah, he sure did. And it was mentioned that Roosevelt was kept a prisoner from after Yalta until his death. And that was to prevent him from telling the truth in the event that his conscience troubled him when he realized that he is about to meet his maker. Now, I got a bunch of listeners there today. So for me saying that, I better give you something to... That's not me just talking. But a little evidence from the mouth themselves. This shouldn't take long. Just bear with me here just a second. I'll give you actual testimony that's been circa date 1933 to confirm what FDR is talking about. Now, understand, it's not often known that FDR was a bad guy. Everybody thinks he's a good guy. They think he's different from it, but he wasn't. He was part of this agenda to take down America. And the Council of Foreign Relations was behind it. Now, my regular listeners, you know all the groups I've mentioned. I don't know who's new and who's not. And some of y'all that's new, well, hang in there about some of the things I talk about. But everything I tell you, I've got documented. I can't go into detail on everything. Otherwise, we'd be here for 4 hours or more, a lot more. My shows used to be 3 hours long. That was some years ago. But I shortened them down to two, mainly so I could get it reproduced. I mean, I could copy it. But you all need to know how these people are operating. You got to know the enemy. If you don't know the enemy, you're not going to know how to deal with them. Now, testimony, actual testimony, to confirm what FDR said, is here. Remember, FDR is not the good guy here.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A Congressional Committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations, regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted. Governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Capitalism today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians as the new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access. This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
Okay. Even on these kind of good videos that have some actual testimony, they lie too. Because the governments are not powerless. They lie about that. And the corporations, they're low men on a totem pole of the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. And these Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, are on the low totem pole of the Illuminati hierarchy of royal families. Yeah, you see. And they're under control. They control the Vatican. This is how it really works. So even their own people there, they may give you a distraction, a misdirection, even on these videos. So I got to clarify them, you see. And so FDR was going to catch Butler in the act of it, because they would have had insiders, declare martial law, and have Butler arrested as a traitor. And now where's he going to get 500,000 men? Well, I'm not going to play the video. It's a very good video about the bonus army of 1932-33. See, they had withheld the bonuses of veterans, mistreated them at the bonus army, ran them out of D.C., okay? And that really ticked off the nation, how they handled the World War I veterans. Now look up the bonus army. I'm not going to play that video, as I normally do, but because I don't have the time today. But that's where they're going to get the veterans. Does that sound a little familiar? Mm-hmm. It always works. And that's what they're going to do. And what General MacArthur, what Major Patton, Eisenhower, Black Jack Pershing, that were active duty then, did to our veterans of World War I, was designed to tick them off, make them mad, so then Butler could form them up if he had taken the $60,000 was going to offer him. You see. And then lead that group, like he said, that was really him on the congressional committee testifying, to take over the U.S. government. But see, within our own government, you have the American white hats or whatever, linked up to the Chinese today, against the European Illuminati. All they're doing is fight for power. You have no good guys in this at all. There's no good guys whatsoever. That you have none. They're all self-serving and a bunch of liars. Every one of them. On both sides of the fence. Now, some of them are convinced that they're doing the right thing. But the ends justify the means. I don't like that little comment or that little idea. The ends justify the means. Now, is it dead? No. Because 1960, they planned it again. That's why JFK, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and Malcolm X were assassinated, because they did not cooperate. Did they do it again? Yeah, 1972-74 with Nixon and General Cushman. I've talked about the details about that little operation also. Nixon divided the United States into 10 regions. Look up Executive Order 11647. I've talked about many, many times. He turned the United States into 10 regions. 5 states each, that boy did. Mm-hmm. Set up with one governor and one regional administrator from the UN for each of the regions. Later to become FEMA regions. And then 84-87, Reagan was planning one. Yeah, with Oliver North and Giafrida and a host of them there. Operation Northwoods. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, they were. Another dictatorship was planned. So by 87, 88, FEMA was in place. They used the plans of Nixon. Executive Order 11647, Executive Order 11731, and to take over functions of government, Executive Order 11495. And the way they're going to do it? Well, I'm a sovereign citizen. I believe in the Constitution. There ain't no Constitution. Your sovereign citizen is worth nothing. All they got to do is declare martial law and dictatorship because of an incident they'll create. That's all it takes. Then they have total control. Well, there's more of us than them. That kills me, man. You better do a head count. You got blacks and whites separated. Isn't that what they're doing now? You got the men and women separated, blacks and whites separated. You've got homosexuals, non-homosexuals separated. You got the Hispanic and blacks and whites and everybody else separated. Yeah, keep doing the count now. Come on. Let's count them all. How many you got left? Then you got veterans committing 26 suicides per day. 26 suicides per day. And nobody is doing anything about it. And the Joint Chief of Staff, they know it. Because they're part of it. Murderers. Because they work for the Illuminati. They've taken a blood oath against mankind. Nobody's doing a darn thing about it. But they got some help. They got an organization that's trying to stop it. Really, Paul Rykoff, he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Ends that argument. You have nobody except Jesus Christ. That's my point. But you think they're done? You think Satan is just going to stop just like that? Well, I got news for you, Cletus. It ain't going to happen. Until that tribulation comes around and judgment. People ain't telling you about that. You see, I'm going to tell you about that. Y'all go to church, those that do, those that don't, well, church nowadays, man, is a problem anyway. Because they're taking you away from God. I think some of you already know that. Where two or more are gathered as a church, not a religion, not a preacher, not a pastor, rabbi, or priest. It's between you and God and two or three others in the same accord. But are they done with this? I'll do you two more. 1984. Continuity of government.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the church.
84-87, Operation Northwoods. Look it up. Take the time to do what I ask you to do, or just don't. Look it up, what they were going to do, and they're not done. Because they're going to plan another one in 1999, and I know Wesley Clark was getting ready to touch off World War III by design, like they are trying to do now, just another replay, in June of 1999. Wesley Clark was supposed to cause a friction between the Spetsnaz rushing into Pristina Airport against the British that were rushing to stop them in June 1999. I was in Kosovo 2 months after this incident. I know he is trying to start World War III for the takeover in 1999 for the year 2000. And 2001, World Trade Center? Yeah, World Trade Center, the two towers of Boaz and Jachin, the two towers were planned in 1966 by the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Druids, the Illuminati, to come down for a specific reason. Because the Freemasons had conducted their own ceremony of Cornerstone Laying in September the 11th, 1966, a major period of time in the year that portals were to be opened in 1966. I have it documented in Illuminati own textbook that year in 1966. That was when the cornerstone was laid by Masonic ceremony. And in 1941, September 11th, 1941, they laid the cornerstone for the Pentagon. Yeah. That's the reality of what's going on today. Now, I'm not done. 87, it didn't happen. 1999, General Michael Jackson of the Brits pretty much told Wesley Clark, Powder Puff Clark, Rhodes Scholar, by the way, that means he's dirty. He told him to stick it up his wazoo. He wasn't going to confront the Russians. He let them take the airport, and rightfully so. He told NATO commander Wesley Clark to stick it up his wazoo. I'm not going to start, I quote, World War III for you, unquote. I don't make anything up. Everything I've got is documented. And I was there 5 years in Kosovo after that. I saw what UN did. I saw what we as Americans in the military allowed Al-Qaeda to run free. I saw the genocide taking place behind the scenes of 1,500 Serb Orthodox Christians is allowed throughout the 5 years I was there. How we worked both sides, the Muslims and the militaries of Macedonia and Kosovo. And just we played both sides because we did the bidding of the Jesuits of the Roman Catholic Church. It's controlled by the Illuminati. You got all that? I know that for an absolute fact. That's why I got sent away, because I wouldn't shut up for 5 years. I was supposed to be there 7, but I didn't make it to 7. Yeah, I didn't. But anyway, I can't imagine why. You'll find me in there. I don't get nothing out of this. I don't have any books or CDs. Only book is out with somebody else wrote it. Put me in 2 chapters, whoopee-doo. But it's the Balkan, The Coming Balkan Caliphate by Chris Delisio. He wrote it in 2006, and I'd give him everything I had. I said, man, I'm going public. Just put everything there. That's it. You got it. I want nothing more to do with it, except if you need questions answered, I'll be here. He says, anything you want me to leave out? I said, man, you don't leave nothing out. As long as it's all true there and you got what I've given you, you put whatever you want. You don't worry about me. He said, you put everything I told you. Now, oh, it's packed full. You go on my website, there's a PDF of it. My website, just read it for free if you want. Everything I've got there is documented and 500 pounds of documents I brought back with me. So stick up the wazoo there, fellas. I got them all documented in 2 4-drawer file cabinets. Do you think they're done? No. No, they're not done. After 1999, the year 2000, they were not able to get their New World Order, so they had to put it on the side. They failed. They're about 14 years overdue. When are they going to realize that God is in control? Well, they're still not done. Now, to show you, as I recognized in the operation between Nixon and working with General Cushman of the Marine Corps for military takeover, that they were going to assassinate using a group of LAPD officers in Los Angeles to assassinate Spiro Agnew. Oh, I got it documented. Yeah. They didn't assassinate Spiro Agnew. It didn't happen as they'd planned. So they come up with charges on him, and he had to resign and so forth. That told me there's a divided line there. There's a separation of the Vatican and some group over here in America. There's a dividing line. There's a power. Well, this one I'm going to play you next, and then I'm going to talk about feminism and so forth, shows you there's a division between the military and the Illuminati in Europe. Now, your General Boykin, who created the Delta Force, and Rick Joyner, he's an alleged man of God, which he's not, no way possible, because both of them are Knights of Malta members. Matter of fact, General Boykin is a high-level chancellor. Had been one of those since Nazi Germany, of the Knights of Malta. That's high, man. That's way, way up there. That's over the President of the United States. The President of the United States is nothing. He could be replaced in a, just like that by the Vatican. He's a placeholder. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Yeah, that's true. And so, Rick Joyner's a Knights of Malta, too. Look at him. You can find him right now while we're talking. Man, that's high level. And yet they're pretending to have a military takeover of the U.S. government. Wait a minute here. Something's wrong here. Isn't he supposed to be on the side of right? And isn't Obama supposed to be a Muslim government? And yet they're promoting a takeover of the U.S. government? So that would mean they were on the side of the militia and the patriots and all that, right? Well, how can they do that being a member of the Knights of Malta? That's about as double-minded as you can get. You're tired of hearing me talk, aren't you?
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know,
we're like Rick Joyner tell you.
Maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, you know, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oak Initiative's own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. And you know what? The hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
Anything new on this one? Now, I'm not a liberal thinking kind of guy, and these are liberals, and I've always had trouble with liberals and all that, but they're right. I don't like liars either, and Boykin and this Rick Joyner is a liar because the system's not broken. Uh-uh. The system's never been broken. The system is doing exactly like they'd planned it. Their thinking is broken. Their agenda, their soul is broken. But the system's not broken. It's working exactly like they put it together. The world wars occurred just like they put it together before 1871. The wars went on without a glitch, exactly like they planned. Korea, Vietnam was planned to lose. It was planned to accentuate the communist agenda, and it did. It was planned to keep us busy, military spending, military-industrial complex to get their blood money, using us veterans, and we fall for it every time for the price of freedom. No, we've never been free because the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, the Vatican, the Illuminati have always kept us enslaved. And how did they do that? How have they accomplished that? Were we sleeping at the wheel? How did they keep us enslaved? And let's fight for our own enslavement. That's pretty clever, isn't it? That is pretty darn smart, I have to admit. Well, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe explains it very well. Quote, "No one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so," unquote. He already figured it out. And Dresden James said, quote, "The ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves, therefore, those which blissfully, unawarely enslave themselves." Unquote. Now, all that being said, it's taken me an hour to set up things. See, sometimes people that listen to me on a regular basis will hear some of the same quotes or some of the same clips because I'm getting ready to give you new information. Or I'm setting up for people that hadn't heard me before to get an idea before I throw some craziness out, which is a lot of this is craziness. But the problem is it's true craziness. Now, what we're taught, education has been a complete fabrication all along. Education has been a fabrication. I can't help that. Now, in July of 1782, at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad, this world revolutionary plan was briefed to other Freemasons after the Revolutionary War. And one such Freemason, an honest Freemason, Comte Varou, V-I-R-I-E-U, said in his biography, after he left that meeting at Congress of Wilhelmsbad, he said, and I quote, "Tragic secrets, I will not confide them to you." Now, this is in his diary. "I can only tell you that all this is very much more serious than you think. The conspiracy which is being woven is so well thought out that it will be impossible for the monarchy and the church to escape it," unquote. Now, what the Comte didn't realize was that the monarchy and the church is a part of it. So in any case, that brings us up to date. And what I'm giving you all are the ways in which they've accomplished this. And the weapons I talked about a little while ago and yesterday of how they've done it. Now, let's go back to what I said about Ayn Rand. Now, I'm going to add something to it, y'all. You thought I forgot about her, didn't you? No, I didn't. There's two things one thing I did forget about yesterday I'll bring up here in a minute. It fits in. She wrote in the continuation of this world revolutionary movement. Now you see how it all fits? You have to continue it. In 1957, remember, 1841 to 1945. 1945 began a new plan to forward it into the 20th century and 21st century. So they had to have an update of the plan because the generations are changing. But it's carried on from generation to generation. So as technology increased, as the political environment changed, they have to adjust according to plan. Okay. That plan was called the Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged is a textbook for Illuminati. Because she was tasked, after playing the little mistress role with Philip Rothschild, a little hanky-panky going on there, Ayn Rand, who's followed extensively by Ron Paul. By his own words, he reads her trash. Anyway, he's another one of the traitors, just like Jerry Boykin. Anyways, she was tasked, I guess among other things, by the Illuminati to write the playbook for the World Revolutionary Plan and put it in fictional book form and story to hide it. In reality, it is exactly their textbook for establishing the world government using fictional characters and a storyline, but true to the actual strategy. Atlas Shrugged, 1957. Now, that being said, I'm going to show you a major weapon they use. Here's how the storyline goes. Only two paragraphs. Quote, "There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible to live without breaking laws. But just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted. And you create a nation of lawbreakers. And then you cash in on guilt. Now that's the system, Mr. Reardon. That's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with. Now, what does that mean? Well, Lenin said, the way to control the opposition is to control it. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. So what do you mean by cash in on the guilt? What in the dickens is he talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you here, as if you didn't know I was leading up to that, huh? How about the guilt of anti-Semitism? Why don't you leave those Jews alone, right? Poor Jews. So they go after the Jews. But what about the non-Jews that pretend to be Jews? What about them? How do they fare on this? Well, Theodor Herzl, who's led by the Vatican, came up with a solution. When the Vatican created Zionism, the same Vatican that created Zionism, of course with different people, of course, in the 6th century also created the religion of Islam. Hey, like that. Isn't that a hoot? They created Islam as a religion. They trained Muhammad the prophet from 6 years old to 25 years old. And even married him off to an Arab Roman Catholic nun. Muhammad the prophet of Islam, That one, the Vatican trained him. I got this documented. Now, that means that they started the control of the children of Ishmael with Islam, because those Arabs rejected Roman Catholicism. So were they, no problem, we'll create a religion. Then in 1897, to control the Jews, they created Zionism, the children of Isaac and Jacob, in preparation for World War III, yet to come. Do y'all see this long-term planning going on? But let's go back to guilt. Quote, the founder of Zionism explained it a long time ago, Theodore Herzl, who started the Zionist movement in 1897. See, he was part Jesuit. Continuing, quote from his diary, it is essential that the suffering of Jews become worse. This will assist in realization of our plans. I have an excellent idea. I shall induce anti-Semites, that's anti-Jews, anti-Semite, those against Jews. I shall induce anti-Semites to liquidate Jewish wealth. The anti-Semites will assist us thereby in that they will strengthen the persecution and the oppression of Jews. The anti-Semites shall be our best friends. Unquote. So what they do is, it's very clever. The Ashkenazi Nazis, those who claim to be Jews but not Jews, those in Jerusalem today. Yeah. Anyway, the Ashkenazi Nazis, the fake Jews, are creating the impression, along as they're trained by the Vatican and the Illuminati, they're Italian and German. You got this? Now, the Ashkenazi Nazis are creating the impression that the whole world is full of anti-Semites. Everybody's against the Jews. So you got to have a group that is against the Jews. That's where Christian identity comes in. They play both sides, man. You got to have that other side, the dialectic. We hate those Jews. Yeah, this is a Jewish conspiracy. Those darn Jews, yeah, they work for the same side they're fighting against. Anyway, and some of them don't even know it. So this brings pity to the Jews, frightens the honest Jews into fleeing to Israel, where they'll be corralled, or working with the Zionists, one of the two or both. It justifies, listen, it justifies hate crime legislation. Now, you do the same principle with women, with blacks, with Christians, with whoever. They can work it ever how they want to. So in this case, the Zionists, or not even Jews anyway, they create hundreds of organizations to defend us from the Nazis, thereby allowing Zionists to provide the solution to the problem that they actually created themselves. See how complex that is? And they plan generations ahead. This is how the world really works. Now, Benny Morris is an Israeli historian. He talked about how Herzl looked ahead and saw how anti-Semitism could be harnessed to realize Zionism. And this is setting up World War III. The real World War III, not the fake one they got coming up now. He said, and I quote, Herzl regarded Zionism's triumph as inevitable, not only because life in Europe was ever more untenable for Jews, but because it was Europe's interest to rid the Jews and be relieved of anti-Semitism. The European political establishment would eventually be persuaded to promote Zionism. Herzl recognized that the anti-Semitism would be harnessed to his own Zionist purposes. You find that in Righteous Victims, page 21. Now, see how that works? So now you add it, the same strategy, to feminism. That just sometimes that just amazes me. You know, if I wouldn't be so... if I didn't know the evil behind it, I'd just be absolutely just flabbergasted and impressed. But I'm not. It disgusts me. Because all of them that involved in this are against God. and against us. They're against people that really believe it's going to work. Now, to give you some evidence of this, very quickly, right here somewhere. Sometimes I go along with my mind, my projects, programs, and I get ahead of myself because I don't have a script or anything. I just go just like that. There was a interview that was done by Russo. I don't support the interviewer, but the interview is very good. And he talks about feminism, about how it's been used in reality. Man, I'm going to tell you something. When I got into studying feminism, I was amazed at how broad a spectrum that feminism was used to take us down. Even the feminists have no idea how they've been used in the same way that all of them are part of this agenda. They don't understand. About the Roe versus Wade, what really that opened up. They don't understand what they did. One of the planners of Roe versus Wade, she didn't realize it till it was too late, of the demons that she set loose with that ruling, what really was involved with it. Was amazing. Now, sometimes I can find the things I need quickly, and sometimes I can't. So then I have to go to the back door. Okay. So I'm going to play part of this one. Here we go.
Well, one of the things they told me was that...
He died of cancer, too.
He was at the house one night, and...
talking about Rockefeller and him, Russo.
He talked, and he started laughing. He said, "Aaron, what do you think women's liberation was about?" And I said, I'm pretty about it at that point. I said, "I think it's about women having the right to work, getting equal pay with men, just like they won the right to vote." You know? And he started to laugh. He said, "You're an idiot." And I said, "Why am I an idiot?" He said, "You want me, let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded women's lib. You know? And we're the ones who got all over the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation." He says, "And you want to know why?" He says, "There were two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was we couldn't tax half the population before women's lib. And the second reason was now we get the kids in school at an early age. We can indoctrinate the kids how to think, which breaks up their family. The kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them." And so those are the two primary reasons for women's lib, which I thought up to that point was a noble thing. You know, when I saw their intentions behind it, where they were coming from when they created it, the thought of it, I saw the evil behind what I thought was a noble adventure.
Aaron, did you know that Gloria Steinem, in one of her own books, now admits the CIA funded Miss Magazine?
No, I had no idea about that. No, I never heard that.
Yeah, we're going to...
CIA funded Miss Magazine?
Funded Miss Magazine with the stated goal of taxing women and breaking up the family.
No kidding. I never heard that. Well, Nick told me. I mean, I know it, but not because I know the CIA was involved in it.
Well, Gloria Steinem was proud of it. Oh, the CIA wanted to help me help women.
No kidding.
So they funded it. Yeah, and of course it's divide and conquer.
Right,
and
of course.
And what they do is they focus in, obviously, on real problems. Women were getting shafted in many ways, but the elite wasn't planning to help them. They were planning to really shaft them and take men away from them. Look at what they did with black families. You only had about 10% illegitimacy 50 years ago in black communities, and now it's over 90%. And look at welfare. You were going to give you some money, but you can't have a man in the house.
Right.
And so that was further to degrade the family.
Yeah.
Totally destroyed. And now illegitimacy is over 50% in the general population.
Right. Well, see, the whole thing is these people control the money. So they make all the rules. You understand? And they put whatever rules they want into effect. And the truth is America has really become a socialist, communistic country. And nobody, everybody says it's a capitalistic country. It's not a capitalistic country. You know, how can it be capitalistic when you have a central bank? That's the first. You can't. It can't be. You know, the
money. It's a planned economy.
It's a planned economy. It's a phony. If they want to create prosperity, they just print dollars. They just make dollars or put digits into the economy, and then now you have prosperity. You don't have real prosperity.
Okay, now that's the part about the feminist movement. Rousseau died of cancer sometime after that. Cancer can be brought on. It is designed in the laboratory. Cancer is. HIV was designed in Fort Detrick, Maryland, before it existed. It wasn't a disease that God brought about. It's created in a laboratory at Fort Detrick, Maryland. A derivative of it, coming somehow they've intermingled it, is Ebola and also the Guillain-Barré syndrome. The immune deficiency virus was also injected into our military. Now the CDC confirms, for example, that autism comes from a vaccine. See, they're telling you this now. You know why they're telling you? They're letting all this out. You know why? Because they want you to know how despotic the government has been. This is part of their plan. Now they've done it. Now we're going to tell you about it. So you'll then rise up against us. It's what they want. But they'll control it. And they'll say the Illuminati has been defeated. And it'll be a lie. They work both sides always. That's how they do things. But when, let's go back. When Rousseau said we have a socialist government. Well, 1944. Norman Mattoon Thomas said, and I quote, he was the Socialist Party candidate for president in 1944, right before 1945. What a coincidence that was. He said, and I quote, in 1944, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. He went on to say in the speech, I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform. However, to make it fair and in truth and reality, the Republican Party is even worse. Because Republican Party, you're responsible for the Council of Foreign Relations, the Council of National Policy, and the death of all our soldiers in Korea, Vietnam, World War II, you're responsible. Because you set up the wars to kill them, working with the Jesuits, and the Democrat Party and the high level set up the socialist programs to enslave us. Now stick it up your wazoo. I don't support either one. And you know, neither does somebody else I know that was a great man. He warned us too, besides JFK. He warned us about this. You know what he said? Martin Luther King said, we must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties, unquote. Malcolm X was also against the Illuminati. He found out about their lies when he went over to Saudi Arabia and came back. JFK was also against the Illuminati and was going to expose them. And Bobby Kennedy was on his side. Now, all four of them have something in common. Now, what was that they have in common? Same thing McKinley had in common, and the same thing Lincoln had in common with all of them. I wonder what that might be, that they all have something in common. Could it be an assassination completed? Well, he had Garfield, too, and almost tried to kill Reagan. Yeah, Cletus. Well, you see, Garfield was just a bad actor and a loudmouth. They had to kill him just to get him shut up. And Reagan was running his mouth too much about the economic situation. And that was a warning. Because he's just one of them anyway. Along with Nixon, his cousin. you're probably wondering who I stand for. Not nary one of them, as they say back home. I stand for Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm done. Because I've learned that's the only one you can trust is Jesus Christ. Literally. That's the whole point of my broadcasting, is to show you how they think they have it sewed up, but they don't. They show you all the ways they've got it contained. But see, God is putting this illusion in their own eyes. He gives them, allows them certain freedoms and certain successes before he allows Satan to take them out. Psalms 34:21. Now, has their plan worked? You have an 8-step program, Tyler's program. He talks about 8 steps to lead from democracy to dictatorship. It follows a plan, long-term, 250-year plan. I'm not going into it exactly now. But you got to put a country or culture in bondage of some kind. I've alluded to it already. Then, if they feel down-pressed and confined and all that, it kind of kills your motivation, don't it? So then you give them a movement. You give them a religion. You give them some kind of something they can galvanize them. You control it. But you give it to them. That gives them what? Step number 3, courage. When they finally got courage, what's that? Emancipation Proclamation, Declaration of Independence, feminist movement. Now you get it. You give them a movement, a country, a religion. They get courage. They want freedom. He controlled that too. So you give them freedom and you use it like a generator. That's what they've done. That's amazing, isn't it? So feminism is just that. The Emancipation Proclamation, next step was the Civil Rights Movement a century later. It was already planned. Woman, you can't smoke. Woman, you can't vote. You're not going to get the same amount of money. Is that an oppression? Yeah. So now they plan, just like they did a generation later or so, the feminist movement. To give them freedom that you control. Now, has it worked? Has it worked over the generations to destroy the family? To take the husband? They've switched the roles around. Have they not? Watch this. This is up to date. Listen to these kids, high school kids. Now you see what Rousseau said about feminism. Watch this. Listen.
A feminist is anyone who wants equality because they or a different group of people are being subjugated because of who they are.
My name is Brooke Abraha. I'm a senior at LREI, and I am a feminist.
I'm Russell, I'm 18, I'm in 12th grade.
I'm Max Fried. I'm in 12th grade, I'm 18.
My name is Noel Diggs, I'm a senior in high school.
My name is Cesar Subvencia, I'm in 12th grade.
I'm Nathaniel McGlor, I'm in 12th grade.
My name is Luis Rojas, I'm 16.
My name is Emmett Stagg, I'm 17 years old, I'm in 12th grade, and I'm a feminist.
I'm a feminist.
And I am a feminist.
I'm a feminist.
I'm a feminist.
What were your reasons for taking the feminism class?
Feminism, the class kind of appealed to me, the curriculum. And the reason I joined was because I kind of wanted to know what feminism meant.
My reason for taking the feminism course is that, especially in high school, there's not opportunities like this that come around ever.
My sister attends Lehman College, and over there she was taking a feminism course, a women's studies course, and she just seemed to really enjoy it. It was very new. I had never heard of women's studies prior to LREI.
What was your definition of feminism before taking the class?
I didn't have a concrete definition of feminism before the class. I knew it wasn't really the perceived idea to the majority, which is that, like, feminism is all women and, like, a total hatred towards men?
My definition of feminism was any woman who wanted equality between the sexes.
One of the biggest concepts we learned in the class was this idea of intersectionality. Intersectionality is the idea that feminism goes beyond just the equality for women. It's equality between races, gender, class, sexual orientation, and so forth.
At one point, we wrote intersectionality as a, you know, that taught me that nothing is really one-dimensional. Like, you can't just be black, you can be black and gay, or like black, gay, stable. You know, there are many different things, and that don't relate to the master narrative set by any place like America. So that, I would say that is the most important thing that that I learned, was that nothing is just one-dimensional.
We've been doing a lot. I know we just moved into trafficking, sex trafficking, and amongst girls and amongst really any age of children. And then before that, we were doing things like harassment and acid attacks, which was pretty brutal.
What impact did the class have on you?
Feminism opened my eyes to just so much in the world. There are a lot of things that I just didn't know about until I came to feminism, and it really just shocked me.
How do you see the world differently now?
Oh, just every time that you read a magazine, every time that you listen to a song, you can hear the misogynistic undertones.
And I've now changed, I've been able to change my silence into action. If I see something I don't like, I'm not afraid to speak up and I'll address that.
So, a little bit after the class, me and Ileana teamed up again. We spoke at a conference for AAUW against the sexual harassment of students at school.
I would encourage a friend or a peer in joining the feminist movement because, it really does embody more than just equal rights for women, or it embodies more than just benefiting only women. It can help us all.
I really try to tell them that it is a life-changing course. It'll test who you are as a person. It'll really impact you.
My definition would now be equality for all genders, but also for other oppressed groups.
My definition of feminism is anyone that believes in equality of any sort, whether it be gender, race, sexuality. You know, that is what a feminist is. A feminist is not one-dimensional.
What do you see as the future of feminism?
Us. We're the future of feminism right now. That's why we have to keep the ball rolling. And I was asked a while ago if, you know, as women, like, are they good? Or as feminists, are we good where we stand? And a lot of people said yes, and I say no. There's still more work to be done.
That was made by senior boys who took the feminist course in New York during 2012-2013 school year. How about that? Do you think it's worked in the schools today? How about that? Right there's your evidence. Slam dunk. They've worked on the children. Got them ready for it. So what's feminism all about in the first place? Now today, we may get to others, but okay, here we go. Let's see. I wanted to talk about first yesterday, before I get into feminism in more detail. I got 20 more minutes to go. If you go back to 1920s and 1940s, I talked yesterday about the plan for an invasion of the United States. You're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. As now you can see why I didn't tell you earlier. I can tell you now. Is that FDR, Churchill, Adolf Hitler, Stalin, Queen Elizabeth II, many others in the Joint Chief of Staff, Chatham House, don't darn a lot of them, had planned a world government in 1943. You see maps. There's maps already out. You can find them circa 1941, 42, that shows the 10 unions of the world as it was going to be divided up. The sixth phase, the fifth phase of this venture was to have Churchill working with Hitler, that when he attacked France and Britain, to completely consolidate Britain and France into one, it would continue on in the sixth phase of crossing the Atlantic Ocean by 1940-41 and crossing into Nova Scotia, into Canada, about midway, cut south, and the United States would be in the dictatorship, thanks to FDR, as you already heard, already planned to occur, slam dunk, but it never happened. And Pearl Harbor was supposed to be completely obliterated, taken over by the Japanese, which they could have done if they launched the fourth and fifth wave, as they'd planned on doing, the third, fourth, and fifth wave. And then it would launch on into California, into a dictatorship already set up by FDR. So the Nazis would have went south, crossed through Minnesota, North Dakota, and cut the United States in half. Japanese would control the south, the west. Nazis and UN would control. Does that sound familiar to you all? It's exactly what they're planning today. And so that was planned as the sixth phase. But it didn't happen. Hitler got powerless. Yamamoto went against the plans and didn't attack for the third wave. Withdrew his forces. Somebody got word and caused the four aircraft carriers, five, to be pulled out. Four, I think it was. They lost the initiative. This six-phase plan fell apart. Well, here's my point. 1920 and 1930, in the education department, in our education, started off with the black schools, had control of them. I'll pledge allegiance to the American corporation. I'll pledge allegiance. You know how they did it? Now, everybody there, if you want to or don't, take your right hand and extend it out about a 90-degree angle, give or take, 45-degree angle, palm down, and Nazi salute, right? That's called the Bellamy salute. That's how they said the Pledge of Allegiance, 1920, 1930s. Did y'all know that? Started off in the black schools, kids. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, with the Heil Hitler sign. And then they moved to the white schools. So now they got the black schools and white schools saying the Pledge of Allegiance with the Bellamy salute. You got pictures of that in textbooks, 1940. Anybody want a picture of it, I can send it to you. Of throwing that Heil Hitler sign. Oops, snap, we didn't make it. So after 1942, 43, thereabouts, guess what? Yeah, they go from the right hand straight out, like Heil Hitler, to the right hand. That's a Freemason sign, by the way. To the right hand over the left chest, left breast. That's a second degree Mason sign for fidelity. Right hand over the left breast. You thought it was just because it's over your heart. No, that's a Freemason sign for fidelity. Over the heart that they, in their blood oath, they want to cut out in the second degree. That's correct. Now, let's call it for what it is. I never was good at political correctness. Never was. Never will be. That's what happened. So when their plans failed, they had to change the sign or the allegiance thing going on from a Bellamy salute, Nazi, because it wasn't going to happen, to, oh, we better change it. So they put the schools to go with the right hand over the left breast. They thought they were going to get their sixth phase and a world government with Hitler in control as the Antichrist. It didn't happen because God wasn't ready for it. Hey, you want to refute all this I've said today? Go on ahead. Go ahead. You'll fail. Family, I want the raw truth. I want it told. tired of these lies. I'm tired of our soldiers committing suicide because it's being orchestrated. Marines, Army, you're being targeted by design. I'm not anti-American. I'm anti-liars is what I'm anti. And this is what happened all along. Doggone it. Everybody's trying to capitalize on this with CDs and DVDs and all this and all that. And I'm head honcho and I'm the prophet. I'm Prophet Gamble. I'm the Grand Marshal Gamble here. Everybody's got some kind of title before their name. I'm Disciple Gamble. I'm Apostle Gamble here. I'm Bishop Gamble. Who gives a hoot? How about the truth? How about Jesus Christ? How about him? What's wrong with praising him and not yourselves? How about the ATMs they're putting up in these churches? How about the, I'm sorry to say this, I have to, that Christmas is a pagan holiday. And so is Easter. It's pagan as it can ever be. And the King James Bible proves it in Acts 12:3 and 12:4. It slam dunks it. The other Bibles, they lie. Family, you either do the truth or you don't. We got to understand that Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. He's allowed control as we pull away from God. God lets him have more reins. I don't pray for the return of the republic and all that sort of thing. I pray for return of Jesus Christ. Return of the republic? When we're missing 500,000, 700,000 kids a year? 2,300 adults are missing every day? And I want to return of the republic for what? I want Jesus Christ to come down here and step on heads and save us. That's the only one that's going to do it. You don't, as I've proven today, you don't have anybody on either side of this scheme that can help you. Not one, except Jesus Christ. Literally. That's my point I'm trying to make. Y'all. So you see how they've gotten into the school system now that now you've got young boys supporting feminism. If it was all for women's rights and all that, well, yeah, you know. But that's not the rule. That's not the truth. It's like Zionism, Nazism, communism. You know something similar to all those words? It's got an ism on the end of it. That's the big deal. Because that's what they're doing. Now, some people say, well, if you don't use right English, I'm not going to listen to you. Well, you don't have to. Forget the truth and get the Queen's English. And do what you want to with it, but you're going to be on your way to hell because you're not going to see Jesus Christ. Not for that, no, but because you're believing these yahoos because they speak very well. They have educations that are, I got a master's degree in business administration. Who cares? It's about the truth that you're looking for, not how you speak it necessarily. Look for the truth. Find it yourself. I mean that in love. That's what I'm talking about. You become the expert. You seek it. But you can't when you're distracted. That's the other point. That's the goal. To keep you distracted. That's working. In all those areas I just finished talking to y'all about. Recently. You see how it works? The fundamental principle of the Satanic Illuminati is to divide races, religions, political groups, social classes, nationalities, and make them fight each other so they become weak in manpower and ruined economically. And this plot leads them towards internationalism. That's how it works. That's reality. That's plain darn English. Now, what about feminism? Tomorrow, racism. And I'm not talking about the Southern 500 either. Feminism is important to Christian women because it's in their face every day. So does the Word of God address feminism, for example? See, the modern concept of feminism was not present during the time that the Bible was written. That doesn't mean that the Bible has nothing to say about the issues of feminism. It's even when the scriptures seem to be silent on something that affects us heartily today. There's eternal principles that speak on this particular underlying issue that the high level understands. So feminism is a counterfeit solution to the real issue of the inequality of women in a sinful society. That's where that lies. Sinful society is made so because it put them in bondage by design. So feminism kind of aggregates itself to a right to demand respect and equality in every aspect of life. So what happens is it pulls the families apart. The men are tied up in whatever other areas and led astray in sports and working for a living, which they get so tied up they forget about the home, or they got the other distractions and strip clubs and I don't know whatever else. They forget to pray at the house. All kinds of things that take them apart and different, separate, divide. Destroy the family, destroy the country. That's a principle established by Adam Weishaupt, parroted by Vladimir Lenin in his teachings and operations. You see, feminism is based in arrogance, and it is the opposite of the call to be born-again believer, to be a servant. What did Jesus Christ do? He washed the feet of his disciples. Isn't a God of a universe supposed to say, you bow down to me? No. Jesus Christ gave us the example. Jesus Christ was God incarnated. Everything that God is, Jesus showed us in his actions on earth. The actions of the modern militant feminists, though, are geared to cause women to rise up and rebel against the order that God has given to mankind. Does that not happen in the Garden of Eden? The Jezebel spirit. Men's not doing their job. I didn't do mine when I was married multiple times. I failed as a husband. That's why I'm divorced. Multiple times. I'm a product of that. I will be the first to admit. I have to admit it. If I talk about it, I must admit my faults. I've been in the fire. I've been a product of it. I've done it myself. The brand of feminism that we're talking about here seeks to impose humanistic solutions. And pretty much you're in direct opposition to the Word of God. The feminism was originally a positive movement, as it was thought to be, just as Rousseau confirmed. But focused on giving women the basic rights God intended for every human being to have, because they took it away on purpose. You see? It focused on giving women the basic rights God intended every human being to have. And it was very much other people that don't know the purpose of feminism. They will tell you that it's tragic because it's gone past those roots to focus on destroying any trace of distinction in roles between men and women. But see, it hasn't gone past those roots. It was designed specifically for this purpose, and it's worked exactly the way they had planned on it happening. That's a radical point that's confirmed. Zionism, same thing. Feminism, same thing. Communism, same thing. All designed as weapons to tear families apart by design, on a long-term basis, leading us to internationalism. People don't get it to the whole step of this thing. They just look at the surface of it. It used to be good, just like Rousseau said, but never was made to be good. They went about it the wrong way by design. Everything in the world, the cravings of a sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world, Satan. 1 John 2:16 confirms this. The principles of the fall are present in that verse of 1 John 2:16. It's amazing how smart those people were back then. How did those carpenters and fishermen and desert dwellers, how could they be so smart? How could they figure all this out that it applies to us today? Well, unless they had divine guidance. And how is it that these books of the Bible, that some of them never even met each other, say almost word for word the same thing? Wow. That's a concept, isn't it? How did that happen? Was that by accident or was it by inspiration of a supernatural way? They didn't have computers back then, by the way. 1 John 2:16. Says that for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's what it says. So the principles of the fall are present in that verse. Eve believed that the lie that eating the fruit would bring her wisdom. Well, the King James Bible misused the word Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12. No, it didn't. Strong's Concordance uses the wrong word, morning star. Morning star is Lucifer. The bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16, that's what Jesus says he is. The bright and morning star. But morning star is what's on Isaiah 14:12 in every other Bible but the King James. Morning star fell. The morning star wanted to ascend above the Most High. See what they did? They exchanged Lucifer. In the other Bibles, they put morning star. Morning star ministries. Rick Joyner, morning star is Lucifer ministries. How about that? And their logo is a half moon and a star. Moon god, Allah. And the lone star is Lucifer. How about that? That's not a chuckle. That gives you cold chill bumps. It's all connected. Jesus Christ is a bright morning star. Well, Lucifer, in Hebrew, in the Hebrew scrolls that the translators of the King James Bible, real scholars, not the fakes they got today in Harvard, Yale, Stanford, all those fakes, fake theological scholars that all humanists, I got this as evidence too. They are humanists, Marxists, and socialists, every darn one of them. Or they wouldn't be working there as a professor. Oh, darn right. I got an evidence. I got quotes, dates, names, confirms it. The Hebrew word for Lucifer is Hillel, enlightened, light bringer. They translated Lucifer's name properly into Lucifer. When he fell, he became Satan, like the Bible said. King James Bible is right on track. The other Bibles call him Morning Star. That's wrong. Strong's Concordance says Morning Star is Lucifer. He's a liar. That book is wrong. See how they've done this? Now, feminism, I'll go into a little bit tomorrow, but I'll end up with racism to show you how they're using it against us. The promise they give them to be brought into the lie that feminism will bring what they want, what they think is they deserve. However, the promise is empty, for the premise is based in pride, and pride goes before the fall. Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. They've got the men off track. They're not doing the praying in the homes. They're not doing the job that should have done, just like Adam failed. The family unit must keep us together. I had to learn a lot of this late in life. I know it now. But in the last decades, the rise of the society is so concerned with political correctness and so sensitive to being offended that civility has lost its way. However, this is really nothing new. There's always been an inequality in the world as they designed it. It's sad but true that artificial barriers have no basis in God's word, have always divided humanity that we know to be orchestrated. God is the way. Jesus Christ is the way to God. This is supernatural, what we're talking about today. I had a family member that recently told me about he woke up and had actual scratches on his back that he couldn't even have done. Deep scratches, no fingernails. Found out his roommate was into Wicca. His roommate is into meditation, astral travel. He did what I told him to do. Pray, use oil, and chase those demons out. Family, this is physics, biology, and it's real. It's so real, your Pentagon has weaponized witchcraft. I'd say that's pretty real. So I think I can talk about it on this broadcast. If your Pentagon has classified projects using witchcraft and astral travel and remote viewing. They don't tell you about that, do they? They don't tell you about the Wicca that's in your Camp Lejeune and Fort Bragg and Fort Hood. They don't tell you about the Wicca witchcraft that they have there in generals, colonels, master sergeants, congressmen, presidents, queens and kings are dead into this witchcraft. So, pray for them. But the tragedy is that they have a reprobate mind. But pray for your families and your loved ones because they're getting more bold. Tonight, End Times Events, Bible Study 8 to 9. And also let you all know we are played up in highpointradio.net. He plays us randomly on his radio station. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays our broadcasts in Bible studies. Tomorrow, we'll hit a little bit more about feminism and how it works. Because feminism is like a spider web. As you listened to those high school seniors, boys, they were giving classes on feminism. Then you heard Rousseau tell you his own words. And I'm telling you the details of how they got there to see how this is really being done. By not participating, by praying against it, by stopping their programs and projects, taking the spokes out of the wheel will cause the cart to at least slow down. But I pray for the return of Jesus Christ. Judgment will come before he comes. Judgment is inevitable. But I pray that when he comes, we have enough time to witness to others. I pray for his return, for a benevolent world government, not a mountain elephant. Because they have failed already. Everything they've done has already failed. It's just the judgment is next. And it's up to you about whose side you're on, individually, and your families, to sanctify by your example, to renounce the blood oath, Freemasons. Get out of there now and go back to your families. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And I'll see you tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study, or tomorrow at 4. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com, and I've got archives for those who want to listen. Those that don't, you don't have to. Everything's free, whatever. Just go for it. And we'll see y'all tomorrow or tonight, either one. Have a great night. This is The Watchman, signing off. And go, Dolly. The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared.
every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.